Up here. I'm starting a series for this whole month, and I want to make it encourage you and make it easy for you to invite friends, neighbors, people that need to understand how incredible this month is. It's more than just one day. It's the whole season. I'm entitling this Finding Christmas. It's the best discover, the greatest discovery that you'll make, okay? And I've got the magnifying glass up there because I think that in our society, you know, amidst all the shopping and glitz and glitter and the UTC lights, you know, we've kind of forgotten what the real meaning of Christmas is. But let's not forget, let's keep reminding people, in that word Christmas is a name. It's Christ, the Messiah, you know, the anointed one of God. And so we want to keep helping people to understand. And if you're here for the first time, maybe you accepted Christ already here today. I want you to understand that everybody on the earth today is a creation of God. Everyone born is a child of God. They're just not in the family. But I want to help you today to discover how to get into the family, because Christmas is about family. When you find Christmas, you're going to find family, not just becoming a part of a family church. That's why we have that as the name of this church, because finding Christ is not about finding a church. It's not about finding religion. It's about finding a relationship. It's about becoming a part of a story, and it's His story. It's history. Christmas, the birth of Christ that you're going to be hearing all month here is not a fairy tale. It's not mythology. It's a historical fact that Jesus was born and He did miracles. And there were prophetic words that were given hundreds of years before He was born. And He fulfilled and he lined up with all of them. And there's still prophetic words that God's going to fulfill. So I want you to understand this, because so many people have checked out on church or religion because they don't see the relevance of it. But I'll tell you what, when you come to understand that there's a power that you can't see with your natural eyes that's at work on planet Earth today, the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that created the earth, created the universe, and created every one of us, the Spirit of God. Every one of us is a miracle, by the way. You know, that's relevant. And it's so relevant when you understand that God, you know, came to earth in a very natural, earthly way. He was born of a virgin. He came in and came into the earth out of the womb. He was in a family for 30 years before He introduced His ministry. Imagine that. And I want you to understand today that God loves and craves family, and He wants you to be an active member of His family. It's not about religion. In this church, we've got probably every denomination represented in this church. I think last Sunday I was talking about we're on a mission, should we choose to accept it, right? And it's not Mission Impossible. I just ask, how many are Presbyterian, formerly Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptists, Pentecostals, and I mean, we had a sprinkling of everything here. What an eclectic, you know, group of Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. The thing that brings us together is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are a church that makes no apology about preaching. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. It's in the Bible. I'm trying to understand, you know, why every church would not be open about this unless you're tearing pages out of this book, okay? And it's what makes life much more exciting, and I want you to understand it. So the Bible says that we are ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter, 2 Corinthians 3:5. The letter killeth. The letter brings division, brings arguments and debates. But the Spirit gives life. The Spirit brings all kinds of people together in unity. And that's what we want to emphasize here in the church. So Christmas is about family. This is the most common depiction of the birth of Christ is the Nativity. And by the way, on our boulevard coming in, the nativity scene that when you get about two-thirds down there, there's a nativity scene was lovingly, caringly, literally carved and painted by some people here in the church. Some of the seniors live on the campus here. Thank you for that. And your daddy, right. Thank you, Bethany. I love that. And I was thinking about this, and when we worship here, and it's kind of active down here, it might feel a little uncomfortable if any of you are used to, like I was. We were raised, I wasn't personally, but my parents and family for generations was raised in the Mennonite church. And we didn't believe in instruments in church. Everything was sung acapulco, And so we all knew how to harmonize because, otherwise it would sound really bad, right? So, but we didn't believe in a lot of activity. It was very solemn, very, very quiet in the service. And, the kids just couldn't wait for it to get over, right? But I think about this, when my kids come over, I wouldn't want them to come over to my house and be sitting in a chair and being real quiet. I want them to have fun and enjoy coming over to daddy's or grandpa's, papa's house. Think about our Heavenly Father that way when you come to church. So as we look at the nativity, I want you to remind yourself, God came and was a part of a family for 30 years. A baby grew up. His father was a carpenter. Jesus came as God. God himself hovered over Mary to come to earth that way. And that's what I want you to understand today when I get into the word. But before we do that, let me just lighten the mood a little bit with a little video clip that went viral about a church nativity Christmas program that the children were putting on. We're going to put ours on next week. So don't miss that. It'll be in the second service next week. And I don't know, it might have similar results. You never know with children. But watch this. Such a beautiful little nativity. Keep your eyes on the little active girl on the right, okay? She took her sheep cap off. She's supposed to be a sheep. But she's got something else in mind. She's focused on it right now, the baby Jesus. She wants to get her hands on baby Jesus. She loves him so much. Oh, the parents are there taking pictures. It's adorable, isn't it? To see the children put on a beautiful nativity. Uh-oh, watch out. There goes the blanket. Oh, yep, she's got a... Pick up the baby Jesus. Okay. Be near me, Lord Jesus. It's beautiful. But I'll tell you what, Mary is not going to have anything to do with it. Uh-oh, there Mary says, wait a minute. Put the baby back in the manger. What's wrong with you? Okay, there we go. Everything's fine. Nope. Give me that. Give me that Jesus. Hey. Okay, now I got him. Okay, it gets worse because Mary's upset now. Give me that Jesus. Okay, now the parents need to intervene. Okay, so next week... Next week, our children are putting on We Three Spies. The TFC kids are going undercover to reveal the true meaning of Christmas in this adventure story. It's actually a musical of God's unconditional love. Bring some friends, and I don't know, we'll enjoy it either way. Any way it goes, amen? It's going to be fun. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The story of Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, it actually begins with an angelic visit. You ever had an angel visit you? I mean, some of you have, I know. Some of you sometimes see angels up here on the platform behind me. And I've seen them a couple times, not up here. But I tell you what, whenever you see an angel, it's a fearful thing. When God shows up, But the story starts out in verse 26, Luke 1:26. It says, "And God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words." You would be too if you'd have been there, because it's a frightening thing. She was troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, the kingdom of God, will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Somebody say, wow. You know, I mean, you'd have had to been there. But this is powerful. I want you to take note of the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I want you to know something today. The power of the Most High is still overshadowing people today. That's not to conceive another baby, no. But it's to give you life, to give you healing, to give you deliverance. That's how God manifests on the earth today. And it's also to create a family. God wants to bring together a family. And guess what? It goes all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? The Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over. He was overshadowing the earth to create it. I want you to understand that this is how God operates in the world today. In the book of Acts, we see that Jesus sometimes breathed on the disciples. He got close to them. He tells us if we want to minister healing to others, that we're to lay hands on the sick. There's something that's needed by way of an act of faith to release the miracle-working power of God. That's not about religion. That's about relationship. That's about the kingdom of God. That's why I can get excited about church. I'm not excited about just going through some kind of liturgical motions, no. But if God's alive on the earth today and he's still raising the dead and healing the sick and delivering people, I want to be a part of that family. And the thing that's beautiful about the beginning, you know, when God created man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. You know, the devil will always try to isolate people. He'll try to get you not to come to church. Your life starts taking a turn and you say, "I don't want to be around people. I don't want anybody to know." And he'll always try to isolate you. But God created us to be together, to be a family, to be the family of God and to have him as a heavenly father. Some people have a difficult time in the holiday seasons because they haven't had a good earthly family. Some haven't had a good earthly father. I get that. I mean, I've ministered to many people like that. But I've got good news for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You have a heavenly father. You have the creator of the universe who wants a family. And you're a child of God. But you can come into his family by understanding how easy it is. Religion makes it difficult. But we never see Jesus. I told you last week. There's no example of Jesus asking for a show of hands or Jesus having an altar call. I want you to understand how easy it is so that you can get your family, your friends, your neighbors to receive this gift that comes from God. And I tell you, when God created Adam, you know, he created Adam from the dust of the earth. And then he said, "I can do better than this." And he created Eve. Out of a spare rib. But I want you to know that from the beginning, God had family in mind. We know the story goes that Adam and Eve sinned. He had created a garden for them. It was going to be a wonderful thing. But Adam and Eve sinned. And then God had to make a way through a pure sacrifice, and that was Jesus himself. He was a man like anybody else, but he was God. He lived a sinless life so that his blood could be shed for the remission of sins, for the salvation of the world, whosoever would believe and receive. So we see in Genesis 2, the Lord said, it's good that man should not be alone. I want us to take that into an understanding of our own lives, because solitary confinement is even worse than being confined in prison. If you mess up while you're in prison, to punish you further, you'll get into solitary confinement. The devil wants to push you into a solitary life, but God wants you to come into family. Romans 8:29 says that God chose us to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Imagine that. Jesus to be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. You want to be a brother and a sister to Jesus and a son of God. Amen, somebody? Amen. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, when he's talking about salvation, you must be born again. You know, we need to have a birthing. You start out in salvation as a baby. If you made a decision for Christ today, you're a baby Christian, but you're going to grow up. Somebody came to me during the Friday night Winterfest and came to me knowing I was the pastor here and said, is homosexuality a sin? I said, well, yes, the Bible says it is. And I could tell that this person was asking for themselves. I said, but sin's not a problem for God. I said, we are all born into sin, because this person said, I what about if you're born? I said, we're all born into sin. But the good news is we don't have to stay there. God has an opportunity for us to be forgiven of that sin and be set free from the guilt. Listen, I've got some friends in the homosexual world that got set free, and they're very aggressive at helping others out of that lifestyle, because it's dark and it gets darker. It keeps getting darker. What might seem it starts out as being light and just a choice and all that. Let me tell you something. It gets darker. God loves the sinner, but he understands how painful and evil sin can be to your life and destructive it can be to your life. So we want to be born again into God's family because God wants family. I love little babies. I love this picture of Mary looking over a little baby, Jesus, in the manger. I spent some time on a bed with our little granddaughter, Lily, who's just one. And it was my turn to watch her for a while everybody's making dinner. And Jeanette, you weren't there, but it was so precious, because I'm laying there on the bed. We're watching kids' movies or whatever it was. And she crawled over to me and just sat next to my face and started feeling my nose, saying, Papa, feeling my face, Papa. I'm just seeing all this data entry coming through her eyes, you know, just constantly bringing data into the most amazing computer nobody's ever made something like a brain. And, you know, I think of that when I see this picture. But look at this verse here. Turn with me now just a page on your Bible, and we read about the account of his birth here. I want to read up to verse 7. It says, and it came to pass, it says that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Yeah, not much has changed in 2,000 years, right? Okay, and in this case, they had to go back to the city of their birth for a census. This taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed. Everyone went to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem means house of bread. It's amazing how this book is so symbolically accurate. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. This is this word of God. God, in the beginning was the word. The word is God. House of bread, Bethlehem, where he was born. Since it was the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Here's the verse I have, verse 7, up on the screen. Lying in a manger, firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Listen, swaddling clothes, swaddling cloths were also used to wrap the dead. Jesus was not just born to be a cute little baby and for us to reflect on that. He's no longer a baby in a manger. He's going to return as a king, the Bible says, with judgment on this earth. But we don't have to worry about that because we're not given to that wrath and judgment when you come to know Christ. But swaddling clothes, because he was born to die, to give his life on the cross. He felt the pain, but he made a decision. The Bible says, for the joy that was before him, he saw people like you and I receiving this salvation and being able to walk in this kind of love and joy. I want to say this too, that really because that baby, Jesus, was God. Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. He wasn't born on Christmas. He was God, so he became human on Christmas. But Jesus was there before the world began. I know that gets a little complicated for our finite minds, but I just want to say, God didn't start at Christmas. He didn't start with the baby in the manger. You know, he became human, and that's important for each of us because he wanted to make a way for us to be part of his family. Look at this. In John 1 and verse 14, it says, the Word, God, was made flesh, and Jesus dwelt among us. That's really the story of Christmas that I want you to understand. Christmas is important because God became flesh, and he had to do that in order to pay the price for our salvation. And then he went to heaven and sent his Spirit, and his Spirit's at work on the earth today, healing, delivering, setting people free. God's Spirit in you will make you a better husband, make you a better father, make you a better wife, make you a better mother, make you better on the job. Young people, make you better in school, make you better in sports, the Holy Spirit in you. Somebody shout. Because God didn't come and give his life to make you a more religious person on a Sunday morning, but to make you a powerful presentation. And like we learned last week, to make you an ambassador with authority of God on the earth today. Now, I got to get to my main point. You might be asking the question, well, how do I get in to God's family? I'm glad you asked that because I'm going to help you understand that. Here it is. It's real simple. I'm going to give you two big words. Number one, believe. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and say, believe. Believe. Just believe. Believe that God loves you. Believe that he created you. Believe that he's got a plan for your life. For God so loved the world, not the church. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, so many people, they're trying to get their doctrine straight and say, well, you've got to believe and be baptized. Okay, what about the thief on the cross? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't do any good works. He didn't get baptized. The Bible says, if you believe, if you believe. I got to tell you what came to my mind in the first service here today. I had to tell somebody that who called in on our prayer line, our 24-hour prayer line. I'm on duty after our Tuesday TV show, Purpose for Life with Pastor Phil. Watch it, 11 to 11:30, Tuesday nights. Little promotion there. But after that program, because we put up the prayer line number, sometimes we get calls, and I'm on duty for that hour. And it was late. I get a call on the prayer line. I take it. I say, hello, it's the prayer line. And I hear a young man's voice say, give me one reason why I shouldn't blow my head off right now. He said, I've got a shotgun in my mouth. Give me one reason why I shouldn't blow my head off. And of course, when you hear that, your mind first says, well, is this a joke? Maybe it's not real, but you've got to treat it as real. And so immediately I said, I've got a good reason. I've got more than one good reason. I said, the most important reason, you got to understand, your life is not your own. You're a creation of God. He put you here. He conceived you in your mother's womb, and he's got a plan for your life on this earth. So you don't have the right to take the life that God gave you. And we started talking and talked him down. And indeed, he had a shotgun in his mouth. He said he had done it so many times that it was rusty around the barrel of this shotgun. I called him by name. I said, where do you live? He said, Bradenton. I thought, wow, you know, it's right here in town. I said, have you ever been to, have you ever heard of a place called Christian Retreat? He said, yeah, I came there as a little boy one time to a camp, some kind of a summer camp that they had there. I said, well, look, I'm the pastor of that church at Christian Retreat. I said, and I'm just a mile down the road. I said, do you know how to get there? This now it's midnight. I said, can you drive there right now? I said, I want to pray for you right there at the parking lot. Do you know how to get there? He said, I'll get there. I said, and bring that shotgun because you're not going to need it anymore. So here I'm sitting in the parking lot. It's all dark. I'm sitting in here at midnight. A car drives up. A guy gets out with a shotgun walking towards me. And I start thinking, maybe this wasn't a good idea. Yeah. But we had a glorious time, you know, and he came to Christ and he gave me the shotgun. I still have that shotgun. Let me tell you, and this grieved me. You know, when he poured out his heart to me, you know, all he knew about religion was that he would never measure up. He'd never be good enough to receive, you know, salvation. No, the Bible says, believe, amen. Believe, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. In Acts chapter 16, I'm going to get it up here. There's another story that happened at midnight. And this was with a Philippian jailer. Remember the story of Paul and Silas when they had been arrested, thrown into the depth of the prison? What were they doing? Praise and worship. Praising God. Everybody heard them. And I'll tell you, it so moved the heart of God that the foundations of the prison were shaken and the doors flew open and the chains came off. Hallelujah. And of course, the Philippian jailer drew his sword, was going to take his life because he knew if any of the prisoners got free, it would be his life. But Paul saw it happen. He said, don't do it. He said, we're all here. Everything's fine. And then the Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? I've never seen anything like this. And here's what Paul said. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. We're believing for household salvation. You know, I really believe that we need to make it simple for people. Because some people out there are even afraid to darken the door of a church. You know that every Christmas Eve, I take groups of carolers into all the bars. And so many times I get people coming up to us and they're saying, you know, why would you give your time to come to the bars on Christmas Eve? You know, this is amazing. Of course, we sing the Christmas carols and then we go one-on-one and offer prayer to everybody in the bar on Christmas Eve. And it's glorious. You know, people love it. And I got to tell you, we're packing the bars on Christmas Eve in town. Some of them are advertising. The carolers will be here, you know. So we have to be there. But I'm saying this because a lot of them feel this way, that the church would never dirty our hands by coming to the bars, you know, to minister to them. And they feel as uncomfortable coming to a church as some of you might feel going to a bar. Now, I've been going to the bars for 35 years. I must have started young. I'm only 40, so I must have been five, you know. But a long time. Believe that God loves you, that he created you, and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Here's my second big word, and this is it. Receive. Say it to somebody next to you. Receive Christ. Reach out and receive. He's already done the work for you. You know, one of you, and I can't remember who it was this week, came to me, and this ties into this verse. I love this verse in John 14:1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." There's people in the world today that think there's a lot of ways to heaven. You just have to worship a God. No, God's book says all the way through it that there's only one way, Jesus, Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But one of you were telling me that this week you were ministering to a fella and asking him, you know, if he knew God. And he said, yeah. He said, I pray every day. And he said, I'm Muslim. He said, I pray every day to Allah. And they had to explain to him, Allah is not the God of salvation. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And had to make that clear. Here's Jesus saying, you believe in God. And most people do. Too many unexplainable things. But you got to put your faith in Jesus. And that's really it, folks. Believe and receive. The Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gives power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Believe and receive. I want to finish here today with just one final verse. You know, it's really my hope and prayer that this will be a wonderful time and season for every one of you. Maybe in the past you've had trouble with the holiday season. But I'm going to say, if you're a believer, this is the best season of opportunity for you to minister the Christ of Christmas to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, in just a peaceful way. Minister the life and peace of Christ. This whole month, I want to help you understand how to do that effectively. Let's read this together. I have it on the screens. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I love this picture of the gift being opened, you know, and in just a warm family living room here. The gift being opened and the light shining forth. You know, the greatest gift that ever was given was the gift of Jesus and Christ, the Christ of Christmas. The Bible says, greater love is no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. You can't earn salvation. You can't be good enough. That young man that had a shotgun to his mouth, you know, somehow was trying to feel good enough to come to Christ. Listen, you come to Christ first, and then God gives you the power to overcome those fears and those anxieties that drive people to suicide. You know, you don't get good enough to come to Christ. You get Christ, and then he puts his goodness in you. He puts his power, his authority in you. You can give the devil a headache every day you get up. Did you hear what I said? You want to give the devil a headache. He goes, oh no, he's awake again. She's awake again. What are they going to be up to today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The next verse says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what God wants for each one of us. I want to believe today that every one of you gave your heart to Christ earlier in the service, or otherwise I'd be doing that right now. But let's bow our heads right now. I'm going to ask the elders, the deacons, to prepare the communion elements. We are about to take symbolically of the body and the blood, spiritually speaking, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and take it into our mouth. Every time we do this, and I do it on a daily basis, you can join me online, do it on a daily basis. I'm asking God to awaken my spirit and your spirit to knowing that God is with you. He's not up in heaven somewhere. That God is that close to you. And he wants you to keep him awake. If you've got Jesus in the bottom of your boat and he's asleep, wake him up. Wake him up. Talk to him. And let him empower your life. Every time you take communion, you're eating of the body But his body was broken so yours could be whole. His blood was shed so that you could have an assurance of salvation. So many people go to church and they never know if they're saved. You can know if that you're saved. Because you're talking to him every day. You're a part of the family. God wants a family. You've been born as a child of God because you're a miracle of God. But to come into his family, you have to receive him. Hallelujah. Ushers, prepare if you would right now. Father, I just pray, Lord, let each one know without a doubt that they've said yes to you today. Oh God, today, because we know that communion is for believers. If you're not sure that you did that yet today, just say this with me right now. Lord Jesus, I say yes. Come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. Empower me. From this day forward, I declare now, you are my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.